This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. As we prepare for Easter, we observe a period of time known as Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter Sunday, the first day of Lent on Ash Wednesday, which was February 17th this year. Ashes were placed on the foreheads of the faithful in the sign of the cross to remind them of Christ's death, of the sorrow one should feel for his or her sins, and of the necessity of repenting. Lent is a special time of reflecting in prayer and fasting upon the importance of our redemption and salvation, made possible through not only Christ's suffering on the cross, but including his resurrection. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to visit us this Lenten season at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, March 14, 2021. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. Let us begin in prayer. We gather together today in your presence, the one true God, whose love is freedom, whose touch is healing, whose voice is calm. You are the voice of promise, whose enduring love still brings us from places of captivity into a promise of peace, forgiveness, and eternal life. God's Holy Spirit abides within us, in our worship, and in our daily lives. We ask your healing touch to be upon Pastor Jim, that his discomfort be relieved and his energy be restored. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us find ourselves before God in a time of prayer as we center ourselves, as we humble ourselves before our God, our Creator, in the name of Christ, our Redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Almighty God, let us find ourselves in your presence, and may we do so in fear and trembling. For you are indeed Almighty God. But in your mightiness, we find patience. We thank you for your patience. In your almightiness, we find grace. We find mercy. We find peace. We find strength. We find clarity. We find light and life. And Father, as we come before you, indeed the Almighty, the Creator of the ends of the earth and the known universes around us, yet we call you Father, which is a name of respect, but intimacy as well. For you desire fellowship with us, and we should desire fellowship with you. You desire that we would know you, your ways, through your love and your Son.
But Father, sometimes we turn our back to find our own way, our own path, our own agenda. Forgive us, we pray. Father, forgive us for often being stubborn and rebellious, for putting ourselves before you, for thinking that we know, and compared to you, how small that is. Father, as you forgive us in your grace and in your mercy through your love, Father, help us to forgive one another. For you reminded us in your word through your Son that if we do not forgive, we are not forgiven. So, Father, give us strength to forgive. Our flesh side wants to hold on. Our flesh side wants to seek vengeance, but your word reminds us that vengeance is yours. Give us grace that we may extend it. Give us peace that we may share it. Give us humility that we may live in it. Give us a mission that we would follow. Show us the way and let us go thereby. Let us find ourselves humbly before you in all things given to you. And Father, as you give to us, let us share with others what you have done, what you are doing, and what you can do. Father, help us to hold on to your promises, which are certain and true. And Father, we pray for one another here this morning. Those who couldn't be here for whatever reason. But Father, we also pray for those who are hurting, sick, uncertain, mourning, whatever they may be going through. Father, we pray for the brokenness that we find in our very own community. And indeed, this nation and the world. Father, we can see plainly the difference between good and bad, but the world seems to blind it, creating divisions, doubts, drawing sides, when, Father, we should be on the same team. Hear our hearts and prayers for the needs of many, including our leaders in our communities, in our nation, and around the world. We pray for those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, and other facilities. We pray for those who give them care, from at-home care by family members to large facilities, doctors, and nurses. Father, we pray today for those who serve our nation, from law enforcement, EMS, to our military, and all those who give of their time, talent, and energies. We pray in this season of Lent that we may be looking at our journey, headed into that triumphant entry into Jerusalem, to bowed heads and humble hearts on a Monday Thursday, to celebration come Easter Sunday. And now may you hear us as we join our hearts with our voices, praying as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today is from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But in those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God for the people of God.
As you read the Bible, God never gives suggestions. He gives commands. Christ doesn't give suggestions. He said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, may you love one another." He says that if you have means and your neighbor is in distress, and you have means by which to meet that need and do not do it, then the love of God is not in you. He said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Accept me or reject me." You see, the Bible is really about light and dark, right and wrong, good and bad. There isn't an in-between. But we live in a world today that's colored it gray. It's kind of like twilight. I have an Achilles heel myself, and that is twilight. I don't have good vision, it doesn't seem, during twilight. And that's really bothersome for me who loves to hunt, because that's the prime time. So I really have to struggle. I really have to worry and concentrate and try to get that moment. Now, it seems like when I look through a pair of binoculars or something, that kind of fixes it. But other than, you know, driving, it's not good to look through binoculars. So, you know, my family knows that. When it comes that time of day, that's when we're going to stop and get gas. That's where we're going to get a snack. Or, you know, there's going to be a delay of forward momentum during that time. But I want you to see something, and I want to tie something together for you. As well as the themes that are going on in this gospel reading this morning, which I think are very important for us today and in the Lenten season, I want you to drive back with me, at least in your mind or in your Bible, to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 9. Numbers 21, 9, we find that the nation of Israel are in the Exodus. They're in the Exodus with Moses as their leader, and they have been really cutting up. They're really doing the wrong things. And they have found within the tribe of Israel, within their group, vipers that are biting them and killing them. They had brought it on. They had been rebellious. They'd been stiff-necked. They hadn't listened. They hadn't obeyed. They had not humbled themselves. And so now they're being bitten by these serpents. And they go running to Moses like they always did and say, "Moses, Moses, oh Moses, why is God doing this to us?" And Moses said, "Well, you brought it on yourself. God's not doing it. This is the result of what you did." "Oh, Moses, talk to God for us." "We don't want to talk to him." "Talk to God for us." "See, okay, I'll talk to him." And he comes back. He said, "I talked to him." He said, "He ain't taking them serpents away. However," he said, "here's what I'm going to do. God told me to fashion a serpent, put it on a stick, and raise it up. And if you believe And if you look upon that serpent and believe that God can save you, you will not die from the viper bite, but you'll still get bit. And if you don't believe, and if you don't turn and look unto that serpent that I'm going to lift up on a stick, you will die. Today's symbol for medicine is a serpent on a stick. Harkens back to Numbers 21:9. As you look, you'll see the serpent wrapped around a stick for the medical healing. So now, let's move forward to where we are today in this text from John. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That's foreshadowing of the crucifixion. We know because we know the rest of the story, right? That is foreshadowing that Jesus would be indeed be lifted up on a cross and would be crucified there and die there for our sins. But those who believe in him will have eternal life. And then we have, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And then comes the difficult part. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. You see, it was already condemned. Original sin had snuck in. Original sin had come with Adam in the garden. The original sin was Adam's disobedience. No. It was Adam's non-willingness to take blame for it, to take responsibility. You see, when you go back and you read that story, a lot of people says, well, Eve did it. Well, that isn't who God asked first. Yeah, she did, part of it, but Adam was there. We have Adam in the garden. He's eaten from the tree that was forbidden, and he's naked, and he's went and hid himself. And you have God who's walking in the cool of the garden. Now, you don't think God didn't know what they'd done. I mean, honestly, can you tell me that God did not already know what had happened? He's either omni-all or not. You know, he's either knows it all or he don't. He either sees it all or none. That's just the way it is. So just get a picture of this real quick. Adam's taking a stroll. No, God is. Adam's hiding. But there had been a habit of God walking with Adam in the garden, talking to Adam. We hear the story, we hear the conversations, but now God's out in the garden and he's taking a walk. So there you are. And he calls out, Adam, where are you? Do you not think God knew where Adam was? I mean, honest and truly. So Adam says, I'm hiding. I bet God already knew that too, didn't he? And then God says, Adam, why are you hiding? I was naked. Two times now God says, Adam, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I forbid you to eat thereof? It was the woman you gave me, God. She caused this to happen. Instead of Adam coming running out of that bush, naked as Jaybird, said, oh, God, I messed up. Oh, God, I've humbled myself and forgive me. I did eat of that tree. I knew I shouldn't have. She might have. No, he didn't take any responsibility. He didn't repent. And he actually finally blames God. If you'd have just got two ribs instead of one, if you did a little better job down at the river with her, maybe this wouldn't have happened. He blames it on the woman. It's the woman you gave me. He says, what is this that you have done? And she said, it's not my fault. The serpent did it. It's past the buck time. And when he gets to the serpent, he don't ask that serpent anything. Oh, you are cursed. You did this, buddy. Evil is afoot. And evil is compared to light and dark, isn't it? How many of you enjoy the darkness? It's okay when I'm sleeping and I'm not up trying to walk around. How many of you have been to one of those canyon places or one of those caves and they turned off all the lights when you got in there? It gets on you, don't it? How long do you think it would take you to become disoriented in that? How long do you think it would take you to be stumbling around? Do you know that most of the early cave explorers whose lights extinguished in those caves died of head injuries from bumping into the rocks because they couldn't see? You see, darkness hides the truth. How many of you have experienced toe stumping in the dark, shin skinning in the dark, disoriented furniture that should not have been there, the lamp that mysteriously was too close and you knocked it off the lampstand? You know, how many of you can't find the switch? You've been turning that light on for 20 years over there, and all of a sudden it's gone. You know, God's just cruel like that. You know, there was this what was that show? Outer Limits, I think, where one of the shows, I can't remember anyway, where behind you are these time things, and they're reassembling time as you go by, and sometimes they mess up. That's where your car keys go, and then you go back and find them. You do know that, right? You need to watch these shows. That's just the way. So I mean, it's darkness just deceives us. It changes the reality. But here, light changes it back. And that is what Christ is talking about in this passage. But those who are in darkness don't want to come to the light. You see, the light exposes them for what they are. And they don't want to come because they actually know. They actually know that what they're doing can't be right. There are some things in our life and in the world around us that common sense just says you shouldn't do. I mean, honest and truly, when it's 27 below zero, you shouldn't go out to stay all day in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. I mean, there's some common sense. There are some things that are right and wrong. How many of you enjoy gravity? I don't. I got on the scales and the gravity said that I weighed more than I thought I should. How many of you realize that right now you're defying gravity? Every one of you. You are defying. You don't even think about that, do you? How many of you drove over here in your automobile? Tooling right along, you know? You are defying gravity. Do you realize that? Yeah, you're defying gravity. This is defying gravity. Gravity says, keep them fat feet on the floor, Jim. Common sense says, you know, you could fall down or something, but gravity. You can violate gravity, but it comes at a cost. My moving around burns energy. It's the cost of defying gravity. When you get in your car, you defy gravity, and it costs you an internal combustion engine. It costs you fuel and energy that you burn to violate that gravity. One of the biggest problems with sending a rocket up into outer space is defying gravity. It's the cost of getting past the effects of the gravity. Folks, in life there are equal and opposite reactions. There are laws that you can violate, but they always come with a penalty and a cost. And that is true for the commandments of God and the way God puts things in natural order. You can violate those things, but it comes with a penalty. It comes at a cost. And it takes humility to come back from it. The world doesn't want to see clearly. It wants to see with its own eyes. It wants to bumble around in the darkness. But let's look at just a little bit more. I'm coming to clear it up, so hold on. I see my little wife's trying to figure out where I'm going here. This is the thing I love about a pastor's wife. They think they know what you're going to preach. But she's not sure about this one. She's very expressive. So let's go just a little further real quick. Verse 19. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light cannot be overcome by darkness. Good cannot become overcome by evil. The reality is, the world thinks that's true. And every news broadcast you put out is looking about the negative and the bad and the wrong and all. And it's trying to beat us into submission. But good cannot, can you hear me, church, be overcome with evil. Darkness does not overcome the light. But we walk around as Christians like we don't have any hope, like we don't have any options. Folks, darkness doesn't overcome the light. Light reveals the lies. Light reveals the falsehoods. And that's what it can't stand. It's kind of like, hey, do you have cockroaches out here? Thanks be to God, you don't know what you've missed. You really have. How many of you have ever seen a cockroach? How many of you have ever heard them run across your kitchen counter at night? Yeah, they'll have a party as soon as you turn out the lights. They like the dark. Yeah, it's kind of gross. But you can go in there and you can shine a light around them and they'll just scatter until they get over in the darkness. I don't know what bugs you have out here that would do the same thing. I'm not a bug person out here. I don't figure that out yet. But you got some little rattlesnakes that kind of like to hide out in places. So. They don't want to come to the light. Satan doesn't want you in the light. John starts his gospel off saying to you that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word was light and life, and that is good. God starts off the creation story in Genesis 1. In the beginning God created heavens and earth, and God, there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and morning and evening were the first day, and he saw the light and saw that it was good, and the light he called day. In the night and the darkness. Light is who Christ is. Every one of us started out in original sin, which is pride, that separates us from the presence and place of God. It puts us in to the darkness. And we can hang out and we can hide there. We can stay away from there. But the only thing that brings us back is humility. The only thing that brings us into the light is to confess our sins, to bring them into the light, let them be seen. You see, the Bible is about right and wrong, good and bad. It isn't about the gray. It isn't about the maybes. It isn't about all of that stuff. It is about the diversity. It is about the fact that, Kathy, can I borrow your stool for a second? Do you notice this oak altar rail? You see this guy? This is good, sturdy oak. Probably imported, I would think, but it's oak. Do you see Kathy's stool? Kathy's stool is oak as well. But guess what? Kathy's stool is not the same color as that oak, is it? But it's still oak. It's still sturdy. It's still good. But it's not the same on the outside. The human condition doesn't change between the color of our skin. It doesn't change between the sex and our identity. It doesn't change between our nationality. It doesn't change with our money. It doesn't change with our home. You know, sometimes I think it may change for the car we drive, but anyway, that's just me. But it doesn't. The human condition is the same, that without God humbling ourselves before God, we are lost and subject to the consequences of darkness and sin. Violating gravity comes at a cost. Sinning comes at a cost. The ultimate cost is death. But it's light that we should want to become, but we can't. I would like to be light, but there is no light in me. And there is no light in you. However, when we accept Christ, we become bearers of the light. The light that is in us is the light of Christ. It is our salvation. It is our redemption. It is that what brings us into the presence of God humbly before Him. Not in pride and arrogance, but in truth. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I mess up every single day. I can't be the light. But I need the light. But I'll tell you what I can be. I can be a bearer of the light. I can shine light into the darkness around me. I can shine the light of Christ in His Word, His purpose, His way. In other words, we can be flashlights, and that doesn't mean we hit people with them. It means we shine the light that they may see, that they may not trip and fall or be deceived. But Christians have forgotten what is truth. What is truth? Truth is what God says it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's what God says, not what we want it to say. It is from the very Word of God that we find truth, not our opinions of it. Not our decisions, whether we want it or not, like it or not. We are not given the Word of God to conform it to us, but to be conformed by it. We are born a new creation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We aren't resuscitated. Resuscitation just brings you back to the point that you died and you need more medical attention. We are born a new creation through the water, the blood, and the Spirit. A new creation. Somebody said this morning it's kind of like a vaccination. No, it ain't like a vaccination. It's complete. It isn't a maybe. It isn't still an option. It is a new creation. Paul says, for the former things have passed away. And Jesus says, for the former things have passed away. And behold, all things are made new. Yes, I still struggle. I still have my faults. I still have my failures. And the light that's in me has to be the light of Christ. And I need the light that I may not stumble in darkness and that the truth may be revealed to me through the very Word of God, affirmed by the Holy Spirit. Truth is strange, isn't it? It's often inconvenient. But have you ever noticed you don't have to remember the truth, but you do have to remember a lie? Truth stands. Lies fall. Christ is the light. May there be light in us, that we may be the light to others through Christ. Let there be light. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Pastor, I struggle with it. Sometimes I don't feel worthy of being even a candle, much less a bright shining light. Pray for me that I would let Christ shine through me. Slip your hand up and take it right back down so I can pray for you this week. Pastor, this light and dark and all of this stuff, it just overwhelms me sometimes. Would you pray that God would help me in that? I want to pray for you. Let's slip your hand up and take it right back down. Pastor, it this good and evil, right and wrong, and this humility and this pride, and I struggle with all of that stuff, and I realize that sometimes I make messes, and then sometimes I do good. Pray for me. That I can sort it out in my heart and life. Slip your hand up so that I may pray for you. Pastor, I want to be the reflector of the light of Christ. I want to shine the light of Christ into a lost world that darkness cannot overtake it. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I know that I have sinned. And I want God to forgive me, but sometimes it just doesn't seem like I can get there. Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I want to pray for others that are carrying a heavy burden, whatever that burden may be. I want to pray for them today. Slip your hand up if you'll join me in that prayer for one another. Our gracious and loving God, we realize that we are often in darkness by our own choice. We make mistakes. We go the wrong way. We feel like we know best. We go by what suits us rather than what would suit you. Father, help us to hold to your word and its truth, that the light of Christ would shine into our hearts and lives, that we would be able to see, and that through love and grace, that others may see the light of Christ in us and be drawn out of darkness and find redemption, salvation, and a peace that surpasses understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the light, which is Christ, be within each one of us, that first and foremost it pushes the darkness out of our lives, gives us the eyes of Christ to see, the heart to feel, the strength to serve, the wisdom to differentiate between deception and doubt and mission and call. May we go to be the light of Christ into the world, remembering that it is His light we bear, His witness we share. Now truly, may the grace and peace of God that truly surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.